The Vox Markets Podcast.
Welcome to Tickets Talk. It's Tuesday, the 17th of October, 2023. And it's a bit warmer today. We've been back to markets aren't warmer. The email show is warmer. But by all means, if you could, like, subscribe and download the Vox Markets app. It's free. RNSs via notification. And, you know, no better way to get RNSs. John is not here. He's still in Wales, sunbathing. He'd come back blue, probably, because it's cold down there. I used to, you know, well, obviously I'm from Wales, but I used to drive back and forth. Every time I used to drive over the bridge, literally, you could have nice weather until the Severn Bridge. Get over the Severn Bridge, starts raining. And I'm not joking, a lot. I think it's to do with the mountains and hills. Lovely scenery, if you can see it. Okay, so on our last day, after yesterday, we talked about, you know, your biggest losers. And hopefully you learn a lesson from a loser, you know, and you don't repeat that. If you do, you know, if you do the same things over and over again and get the same results, you know, it's insanity. Of course, you've got to change, and we learn from that. So today, biggest winners. What are your biggest winners? What's the biggest winner ever, if you can remember it? And what have you learned from that? Let us know, please. All right. Okay. So I'm just going to go through a comment from yesterday, catching up on biggest losers. From this is from Sharu, the vegan Westie, and he says my biggest loser that I still hold is Currys. When I bought the stock back in May 2021, the stock was called Dixon's Carphone. In hindsight, I should not have bought this stock as the momentum relative strength numbers did not identify with the contrarian value strategy that I follow these days. So valuable lesson learned. I know it's always a learning game. See, that's the thing. That's the thing about life and stocks and shares. It's about learning. I'm currently down 67% on Currys. Woe is me. Analyst forecast suggests this stock will recover, going up by 54%. So I'm patiently waiting for it and many of the stocks to recover. Let's look at the chart of that. Let me just share the screen with you. By the way, this is AIM. The only, look at the indices here. It's the only indices down, I believe, today. Again, when this recovers, it will recover very aggressively, I believe. I hope. Hope, brackets, believe, or maybe hope in brackets. But FTSE 100, some of the rise of the Intercontinental Hotels, water, it was utility, 7 Trent, AstraZeneca, Barrick Developments, Tesco's there. But they are up sort of 0.4%. AIM is down a smidge, 0.7% faller. What's the fallers in the big? Oh, a lot of the miners there, Anglo, Glencore. BT is there. John will be pleased with that. He holds that. He said he did make me laugh. He said he's waiting. I said, waiting for what? Waiting for it to go up. And Vigasco, a lot of miners in there. What's happening there on the mining front? Is it China? China related? Who knows? Let me know if you know. But let's go to a couple of comments here already. AI investor says, you must be happy today on the movement for Destiny Pharma. Yeah, we'll look at the news of that. And I don't want to be seen, you know, sort of promoting my own book, but I do hold Destiny Pharma, but I think it's just a start there. But we'll go into that in a bit. Michael says Rio Tinto. Their chat is their chart is like a pyramid. Sell high, buy low. It's easy with Rio, and very, very good dividend to go with it. Let's look at Rio Tinto. Where is it? Rio Tinto on the chart here. Oh yeah, look at that. That is a range. As you can see, you know, remember we're learning here. The three states a chart can be in: a range, an uptrend, or a downtrend. You can see there, you know, support there, 47, pretty much 44, and resistance here a bit higher up at 62. So you could say a trading range, you could trade that. If you scroll back a bit further, this is an uptrend, of course. And then it hits the sort of range, breaks up, and it breaks into a range there. So all you can do is avoid. If you're in a stock that pays a dividend, in a range is fine. You know, just avoid the downtrends. That's what you need to avoid. So try and identify on a chart the downtrends. First of all, fundamental analysis. And then, of course, look at the chart and see where it's at on the chart there. Okay, let's look at the front page of Vox. Let's look at some of the things there. Lauren talks about Destiny Pharma shares rise on promising new data. Really, I didn't know that. Ooh, it is good data actually. And if you look at it, in fact, we'll scroll into this. It is one of the most read, so I'll look into this. But on Destiny Pharma, publication of new microbiological data for XSMe3. Now, XSMe3 is a platform, but the lead asset on that has, they reckon, a market potential of $2 billion in the US alone. So, of course, that's not including Europe and the rest of the world. Now, this is the second asset they have going to phase three studies. Their first asset is partnered, so they have no financial burden to take this through to phase three. And this is their second asset. And they've also got a pipeline of earlier assets. So I think it's going well. But what's interesting about this, they screened against 2,527 Staphylococcus species. And they found that basically XSMe3 is effective against all of these. And this is one of the biggest threats, they're saying. Antimicrobial resistance is a huge threat to humanity. It's a case where people are going in and, you know, they're resistant to super drugs. But this pretty much kills them all. I think it's got huge potential. And so you've got, you know, two very good assets, a new management, they got cash, and they will be landing a deal on this. And someone did say recently, I've sold out of this. And I thought, I just think with something like this, it's one of these hope-like potential stocks could go very big. Look where it's been, and this was before, you know, the new management, before the deal on the M3 asset, and it's back down here. It was at 180 back then, and now they're in a far better position. But you can see here, there's some resistance coming in the chart here, because support pretty much from about 48, but breaking up the 60, you can see their previous sort of resistance there at 60, 56, it's sort of trying to break up above that. It will get there. This will be in the range maybe for a while, but then hopefully that deal will be announced and it'll shoot up higher, hopefully. That's what I'm hoping for. But as I said, it's one of the most read there on Fox. If you scroll down, Gritland Gold is the most read. Silver Bullet DS is the most followed. I did a video on those on the weekend, worth a look. Please do it on research. But what's happening with Gritland Gold? It's been well followed, this company. I think largely due to the hype it had and the rise it's previously had. As you see, a massive rise. Look at that. I can't even see that it did to 23 or 2400%, you know, across 375 days back in January 20. I think there's rumors of a takeout deal as well. But they're just talking about their operations there and Havieron quarterly update. And their partner has been taken over, but they've got decline. Progress continues with total development to date now exceeds 2,820 meters. And the Newmont Newcrest takeover, it's all good to go there. But as far as the chart's concerned now, let's get this chart up. There we are. It seems to be in a slight downtrend. As you can see there, when you're looking for trends, looking for, you know, a series of higher lows and higher highs, here we've got the opposite way around. It's basically lower lows, lower highs. So it needs to sort of break up and break that downward trend. I'd say maybe getting above this line here, you know, maybe 7-8 pence. If it gets above that, in fact, I put an alert on there, 8 pence. So it needs to sort of break that trend in a bit of a downtrend. Okay. Biggest winner. This is from Rifsofoff. Biggest winner. Hyperport AG, German. Needed Google Translate when it wasn't very good. Didn't start selling until I noticed it 10 bagged. Paid for many AIM mistakes. Learned it's great to be lucky. Yeah. Well, sometimes I think we convince ourselves, you know, worry around the macro. Sometimes you can sell out of a company and it goes on, do great things share price wise, because we tend, you know, a lot of the time, I think, like recently I was walking the dog and I sort of got a bit worried about this, you know, Middle East war going on, which is absolutely dreadful. It's obviously pushing the news off now because it's so bad. But I did have that sort of panicky. Is this going to have contagion? And sometimes you realize that these worries are subjective. You know, really, they're not the wider worry. And sometimes you can think that about stocks. You can start to worry about a stock and then you can sell out and you convince yourself it's not going to work out. And I've done that on many a stock, two of which like Argo blockchain. I was banging on about that for a while before Bitcoin really took off. I think Bitcoin was about $8,000 at the time. And Bitcoin started to move, and then Argo didn't. It lagged, so I just sold. And that did 3,000%. So, oh my God. Another one was Audioboom, that 10 bagged after I got bored with it. So sometimes you can convince yourself it's not going to work. But there's a lag factor sometimes in the market, you know? There may be some sellers in a stock that's holding the stock price back, and you think, hang on, what's going on? The news hasn't been reflected in the stock. So sometimes, you know, you just need to have a bit of patience, I think. If you've done your research, deep research, and convinced by it, it's worth sticking with it, you know? Roger says, Kodal and Gritland Gond, get in early and hold. Mm. Well, early, how, Roger, on Gritland, I would say, are you late or are you early here? Because surely that was when to get in, back here in 2019. That was a 2003% rise. I did hold Kodal. In fact, do you know what? This is a very good example. I got a Kodal. I remember someone on Twitter, I'm not going to say who it is and mention no names, but they said, and I got in sort of, what was it? Must have been quite a few years back. And they said, oh, you've missed the lithium play. I thought, really? What? No. And I got out of it. And literally, look at the rise that happened. And I was convinced, oh, maybe I have missed the lithium play. The lithium play is still going on. It'll go on for the next 10, 20, 30 years. I don't know why I convinced myself of that. So sometimes stick to your guns. Don't go too massive on something that's not playing out. But yeah, sometimes you just need to stick to your guns, don't you? That's Kodal. It's risen quite a bit, actually. And even if you look at the charts here, look at the classic, the 50-day crossing the 200-day, which is called, let me just get rid of the 30-day, because no need that. 50-day crossing the 200-day, which is called the Golden Cross, of course. If you'd got in on that, look at that. You'd see a nice rise from like 0.04. Well, that's almost 10 bagged there, isn't it? And now you've got that coming back down, and it happened again here, look. The cross, Golden, and is it previous highs, breaking up, another big break up there. So sometimes it's worth looking at the chart. Now it may have to consolidate a bit. In fact, if you look at that previous highs here, it's almost creating support. So that previous resistance can have, be previous, support now. So let's look at the Kodal. Okay. What else on the front page here? Angus Energy. Anyone holding this? It's well read. Many, many years ago, I had a little dabble. I did okay, but updated salt fleet by CPR. So they're saying here, essentially, that the P90 NB valuation, 57 million, an NBV of 64 million post-tax there, over 2 BCF of sales gas produced and exported since August. And they say reserves uncertainty reduced from 2021 CPR with P90 gross sales gas reserves up by 8 BCF. And there we are. So, and there's also another bit of news on Angus as well. The Balcombe oil field update. I don't know if anyone's into this. I don't know much about the story, to be honest. But they say they're pleased the High Court has been upheld in its right to test the existing well at its Balcombe well site. That's Pedal 244 in West Sussex. And they have, what do they have? The company president has 25% interest in that license. So let's look at the chart of Angus. Angst. You can see there, it's a definite downtrend there, And of course, these lines just smooth out the trend, but it needs a break. I'd say, you see here, previous support and resistance is there, probably 8 pence, or 0.8 pence, I should say. Eight pence would make it a 10 bagger, but needs to get above that. That'll break the 50-day moving average and break new highs, hopefully. All right. I am missing John because he can talk while I'm looking at comments. But and just I miss John anyway. There we are. Dagger 888. My biggest loss was chasing dreams of a takeover on Thomas Cook. I lost 15 grand, all part of the learning curve. Yeah, it's one thing I've learned. Okay. Never invest in a company, well, you probably learned this now, on the promise of a takeover. Never do that. Invest in a company or business because it's a good company or business. If it is, it could get taken out. But never in it. I mean, I remember, who was it? It was Alan from the podcast talking about Thomas Cook. And I said, Al, the liabilities are massive. They're going to go underwater. And they did in the end. So, you got to look at the balance sheet. It's very important. Justin, with your hype and potential shares, do you check these on a daily basis? Just wondering if you do a stop loss on these or manually sell if they explode. Hope high potential stocks are very risky, but they have the potential to transform your portfolio. That's why I like a little bit in there. Now, I always check share prices on a daily basis anyway, but I've tried stop losses on nano caps, macro caps. They don't tend to work because you can get tripped out. And it's happened to me on several occasions. I have even tried them recently, but I don't. But the first thing you should look at on hope high potential stocks, I largely say these are, pre-revenue loss-making. They've got to have cash, first and foremost. If they've got cash, that's the biggest worry off the table, because the biggest worry is going through and not securing more cash. So do they have, 12 months plus of cash? And if they don't, then don't. I'm not saying don't go into them, because you may like the story and the potential there, but limit your exposure to them, because if you know they have to do a fundraise, especially on pre-revenue loss-making stocks, it'll probably be a discount. So, put a tiny bit in. And I would say, even when you start off investing, you find a company you really like, you get overly enthusiastic about it. So you tend to get carried away and put too much money in. I think what you should be doing is put a little bit in and then see how it plays out. You can always average up, what you're going to do is it's chasing losses down and down and down, especially in a bear market. And like I said, if you see a company that you like a lot but needs to raise money, then you'll find you will wipe out your fear of missing out just by putting a tiny bit in. Be surprised. I find I'm always more obsessed with my new holding rather than my other holdings, even though I may have a tiny amount in the new holding. I'm always more obsessed with it. So it's a tendency to go overboard on a new investment and be overly enthusiastic. So you've got to temper your sort of enthusiasm. And that's why you just remove the fear of missing out by putting a little bit in, tiny little bit. And then if it doesn't implode, don't go crazy next day, put more in, check it all in. It's patience. I think one of the biggest mistakes I've ever made in any stock is due to lack of patience. And that's getting out before stock rises or just going too big on a stock too early. It's never been because I've been patient. When's the last time you had someone say to you, do you know what, I didn't do well on that stock because I was too patient? It never happens. A bit more patience goes a long way, I think. So, let's look at the front page there, see what else is on the most read, rise and fallers. Pullback into Jeremy Skillington today. Let's look at THD first. How's that getting on? Up 5%, trading statement. I was surprised up today. I mean, they started off with you're getting quite brave going for a negative figure here. But they're down, what's this? Year-on-year change, minus 4.4%. I suppose it's not as bad as expectations. I don't know if you're over that. Are you watching that? I don't know much about the story here. They did say group stock levels have continued to normalize, contributed to a 5 million inflow. Revenue, adjusted EBITDA and cash generation guidance remains unchanged. So that's the main thing, I suppose. But it says Q3 has been another strong quarter with progress across the group. Let's look at the chart to THG. What's it like here? THG. Wow. Look at that. Came to the market, look, with a bit of hope, high potential there. I'm saying that. I'm wrong there. A bit of hope there at, £6. It's now at 60 pence, pretty much. That's 90% erosion of the value. Where is it now? It's tried to rally, isn't it? But you can see there, it's pretty much range bound. If you look at that, in fact, the gap here is providing some resistance here. In fact, I just look at Shoezone today. I don't know if you saw Shoezone. Let me just change something here. Shoezone. Because their final results are out. And Shoe is ticker, which is quite appropriate, I suppose. There you go. Let's share the screen. You can see here, look at this. I mean, on a chart, you can see Pullwell. That's a nice uptrend, okay? We've come from a range here. And look at the chart. Even the 200-day moving average, the red, you can see it's gone up nicely. And then it hits sort of, resistance up here at 260. But you can see here, that previous sort of support there and resistance where it's come down to a couple of times. Now it's back there and it can't really get above that. And you have this, rolling over the 50-day moving average. Not a bad thing. I mean, it can just stay in a range for a while. But there's no definite uptrend there. Like I said, this is an obvious uptrend where the share price hadn't touched the 200-day moving average since the 13th of October. It dipped here, there. Well, it did once there. But now it's touched it there and it's touched it again. Okay, so you think, okay, the trend seems to be breaking down here. Not into a downtrend, doesn't have to be, can be in a sideward trading range. But I say it's worth watching the chart to see, is it trending up or trending down? That's sort of the figures and shoes on. Full year trading update. Revenue increased by 6.1%. Store revenue under 34. Store numbers, 323. Also, they've gone down from 360. Which is not a bad thing. Net cash of 16 million. Again, that's net cash has gone down. That's always worth looking at the cash figure, even for, you know, profit generating companies. Adjusted profit before tax, expect to be not less than 16 million. So where's the cash going? You should ask there. I don't know much about the story, but, you know, it's done very well. I'm in the zone, man. The shoe zone. You can see it's done very well from the lows down here, isn't it? Look at that, 60 pence up at 225. And when you get that kind of rise, you know, over a year or so, you probably need a bit of a breather, a bit of consolidation just to take the next leg up. But it's, you know, it's good value. Let's have a look. Here's optimism. Biggest winners yet to come, holding Destiny at 27 pence, Long Life at 22 pence. Yeah, you find it. Do some research on companies that haven't posted, news. Because the worst time to buy is after a company releases good news. I mean, you could say, you know, it de-risks it a bit. But on the day of good news, like Destiny Pharma, for example, like, you know, if you just look at that chart, Dest, it was languishing a little bit. But, you know, the new management, we know they would come out with more peer-reviewed data, and they have today more. So all this data, you know, basically it helps them striking a deal pretty much and going for approval because they got more data about the asset. But, you know, listen, this has gone up and down, and literally, you know, there'd be some people buying here, and you could have bought down here. So, and same with sort of Long Life, really. I mean, you know, we know they come up with news. But look, it's gone up here where people are sort of buying, big update, and now it's languishing because of no news. Now, I'm not saying the news is a slam dunk. You know, it may be negative news, but you know, but if you look back and do previous research on the 151-person trial, now they're doing a 425-person trial, then you think, well, where's that going to go? You know, in fact, I did look at the chart of OBD day. Again, I said never buy on up days, spike up days, because even though there's great products here, in Oxford Biodynamics, you know, with no news, you know, when you're a loss-making company, people tend to start worrying and selling begets selling. That's why you should never try and buy on a news day, even though you can rally further. Be careful, just let it cool down, because they can't release news every week. You know, I understand there'll be times where there's no news coming out and people have lack of patience, like I've had before, and will start selling. And they think, oh, okay, take advantage of that lack of patience. Let's go front page again. Just look at some news here. Angus Energy Tissue, Paul Begg gets good news here. They're partnered with a NASDAQ listed biopharma. You can see the video and interview I've done with Jeremy there, which is nice to see. And that's sort of validation. They go in the right direction. You know, when you get these big hookups, these bigger companies. Let's look at the chart. There's again, a bit of a range there. From a low, it rallied. Wow, look at that. Rallied strongly there. But in fact, if you draw sort of, you know, these sort of lines at the highs, then you can see that's good support. It needs to break out of that. So, you know, it's been since that big rally, you've had a series of lower highs pretty much coming down. And this is the today's high. So it needs to break above that sort of level. Not far, 8 pence. And yet there's good support at 6, 7 pence, you know. So that there's good risk reward there. So so good news on that. Paul Begg, we got cover Destiny Pharma there. Rolls Royce. I love the way that all the newspapers are saying that Rolls Royce, you know, they're laying off 2,000 or 2,500 people, whereas Rolls Royce says Rolls Royce creates more efficient organization. It's so funny how the media organizations are looking at it in a negative point of view, and they're in a positive point of view. Because, of course, if you lay off people, it's one of the most expensive things you can have is human resource. You know, people paying wages is expensive. But they do say propose 2,500 reduction roles worldwide. How many do they have? They currently employ 42,000 people worldwide, Rolls-Royce. So what's that? 10% before 1,000, 5% of the workforce. Again, look at that. It's a cracking show. But I say again, a couple of times, you know, look at this. There's a Golden Cross there. If you got in on the Golden Cross here at 94 pence, you'd be laughing here. And it hasn't done that since, you see? And it's done what? 259 or 230% in the last, I don't know how many days, but since September 2022. But it seems now, you know, after a while, exhaustion kicks in and it does need to consolidate. This may need to consolidate. See, last time it hit the 50-day moving average, it did consolidate in the range for a while. It's doing that now. So it may need to consolidate there. Let's have a go. Some more chats, some things. Let's look. Very early, says Roger. What do you mean very early? Are you very early? Are you very early? Okay, so very early or very late? I don't know, Roger. Are you very early? Looking at those charts, are you very early or are you very late? I don't know. Maybe you're very early on the next cycle, and that's what you're saying, because the first cycle's happened. I don't know much about lithium, but I heard Rick Rule say he didn't like it because of the increased supply and refining capacity. Okay, very interesting. Yeah, there's a lot of lithium seems to have grabbed the limelight, doesn't it, in the EV revolution, when there are other, you know, components needed or commodities needed. I mean, graphite is one, of course. I think is it something 5 to 10 times more graphite is needed in lithium-ion battery? I don't know if that's a fact. Lithium will disappear when they find new battery tech. Yeah. Gregor, how easy is it to ramp up new battery tech? Lithium is already here. You know, that is true. I mean, you know, it's not only finding the tech, it's actually testing it, commercializing it, and rolling it out. You know, we often talk about this commercialization, you know, execution. Companies may have excellent products, and we know, and that's why we invest, you know, I invest in sort of nano caps, micro caps, because the ideas, the potential of some of these ideas are amazing. But how many will get through to commercialization in some way? It may even be usurped by some other person's tech or some other company's tech, you know, or they may just not get the funding, whatever, it can happen. You do have, you know, risk of the execution of commercialization. Always new tech takes over, just a matter of when. Folk rush to new and never stops growing. Yeah, but it can take a long time to usurp new tech there, so it does take a while. Okay, what else is there? Look at this company here, very odd, because up and down like a yo-yo. Rolls-Royce, Ango. So biggest rises on news day. In fact, Destiny is there. Frontier Development's one of the biggest rises today. I think it's what's the ticker here? Let me share the screen with you. FDev. Let me just look at this. I'm assuming it's a bit of a fall off because now they're saying Frontier Development's. Yeah, look at that. Wow. It's come down literally 94% in 1,005 days. So it's had a hard time since June 2021. But and look at that. You see, that is definite. I mean, you could have been forgiven for getting here, but then maybe put a stop loss at the support or resistance there and get back out. But they did say today they've been restructuring the business, organizational reviews, reducing operating costs by 20%. They do say the board remains comfortable with market expectations for full year 2024, consensus revenue of 108 million and consensus adjusted EBITDA loss of 9 million. I'm glad they're comfortable with a loss of 9 million. That's fine. We're comfortable with that. How much cash you got? That's a good point. That's like a financial results. Let's scroll down. Cash of 28. Okay. That's not too bad. But that's the kind of thing there. I mean, you know, you got to look at good businesses. What I do on that as an alert, you know, any pretty decent business. I don't know. I haven't looked into it. But if I would like it, I'd just put a right click alert, crash it in 50-day moving average. FDev. I can't spell it. FDev. I've done that. 50-day moving average. And then I get an alert on that. And maybe revisit. Just forget about it. You see, no point chasing downtrends. Wait until it changes. Just forget about it. Anything else on news-wise? Anything else from look at, guys? Because I kept it half past. What's on the front page there? Yeah, that's an interesting little company worth a look. 4 Global, dealing data around sports and helping companies, you know, use that data to incentivize people to do more, you know, workout, fitness, all that kind of stuff. And they've just signed some contracts. But interesting company. They're only listed in for GBL. They're only listed in the bull market. Like I said, every company seems to have listed in the bull market. New company, of course, because that's when money is cheap. It's free-flowing. People are willing to risk anything, even £1 million on an ape NFT, which a lot of people did, which they're worthless now. But like I said, it's come around. But even that, because even lack of liquidity, see, got Golden Cross here. And it's broken above 200 moving average. Hasn't done that. In fact, it hasn't existed before Denver. So maybe worth some research and what your thoughts are on that. What else was the fall here? Oh, Innexus. I did get into Innexus, right. I got the value right, but there's no growth. And I do feel now this is a company that's so small. I don't know if it can generate that. But the reason why it's falling is because we're literally talking a market capitalization of 1.1 million. They do strategy execution software. And I thought that could scale. But I don't know if they can scale. It's a little worried because you get to the point where the size is so small. I don't know if you can scale without, you need funds to scale. But they've lost a customer which will cost them £54,000. They did say they're happy with their group close for the year with cash of £267K. So it's a little bit worried. But, you know, sometimes you can go too small. I know the small companies, you know, can move very quickly, but if you go too small sometimes, it doesn't work out. What else is there? Is Castillo Copper. Castillo. Abbott did health, by the way. Of course, this is a bit of a hype rally of the COVID. But they got final results out today. And I don't know if any of you looked at these, but ABDX, I don't see it as that bad. I think things are improving here a little bit, unless I've missed something. But like I said, it has come down massively from when it listed during the, you know, the COVID sort of hype and testing. Come down from a quid down to 11 pence. But in fact, saying that, you can see straight away, the bottom is in there. Like I said, you could have been chasing the stock all the way down on the hype and you'd have been massively underwater. But if you just waited until it crossed 200-day moving average, then now you'd be up. So they crossed it literally at 6.5. And even with the day's fall, at 11.5. But you see, it's risen, it's almost doubled from that level. So you are now almost in this trading range where it needs to break above. But it is some support there. Like I said, it's support, what, 10 pence there? But just looking at their results, I didn't think it was that bad. I did look at that. It's a revenue of 4 million. A loss of 2.9. What cash they got? They got cash of 3.2. Okay. So they made a year loss of that, but they got cash there. And they say that they don't need to raise money. So they look at growth and profitability. That's what they're looking at. Let me scroll down here. Where's the... There we are. Yeah. So a little growth there because sales... See, they are burning. It's not much used in... They got any borrowings? A little bit. Not a lot. I got some cash there, 3.2. But cash flow is operating, lost their trading book out, degree out of the rear. All right, cash inflow from operations. Look at that cash outflow of $7.7 million. Maybe, you know, I think maybe at the turning point. Who knows? Do your research, please. But they've dropped by literally 14% there on the results. But I think that maybe, you know, the downtrend has ended there. Any other chat? Hang on a sec. Let's have a look. Gregory, Ilika, developing new tech, Goliath solid-state battery, oxide solid electrolyte, and a silicon anode. Yeah. No, I agree with you, Jeffrey. I mean, new tech always takes over, but it can take a long time, you know, and when you've got almost like, you know, the accepted method and so much money's gone into researching and developing lithium, then it's hard for people to adopt that new tech when it's in so many cars, you know, and so many people are using it as a standard. You know, you'd be surprised how many, you know, cutting edge technology never make it because they just, you know, they're late to the party a little bit. But I do say that. Better stick to all drugs and sausage rolls. Yes, that's GB. better to stick to oil, drugs, and sausage rolls. Wow, you live the rock and roll life there. We'll be interested to see what happens to lithium mines when EV cars become more affordable. Dacia, I think, plans to release an EV in the spring. Yeah. Codal 2017. Are you there? Well, and Roger, are you there then? So, yeah. Very. In fact, I sort of like to hear, what is the... If we can't name the new tech, I suppose Ilika's there. But, yeah. But like I said, you know, they will need funding for a while, Ilika. Anyway, look at the chart, Ilika. Like I said, I did buy those. One of the best Christmases, that was. I bought Ilika, literally, back... I'll show you the chart, sorry. I bought Ilika in 2021, and it was like Christmas time, and it pretty much doubled in a few days over Christmas. That's a nice Christmas present. So yeah, I was buying it here, so I really liked it. But then they came up with some sort of you know, updates on revenue, and still the revenue is obviously very small compared to their market cap. Hopefully they'll grow into that valuation. But as yet, that's now a painful-looking chart, isn't it? And you can see there, lower lows or higher lows have been broken, and even the high highs have been broken. So the chart is you know, it's looking a bit sorry for itself there, not looking good. Just quickly on some news. It's good news actually. For did I cover there? Yeah, pretty much. But some good news on business stories here. UK regular pay growth slows for the first time since January. Remember, we've got CPI data out tomorrow. I think 6.5% down from 6.7% for year on year is expected. So big figures tomorrow. So join us tomorrow, see what happens in the markets. But this is a good sign. I mean, it's coming below expectations. This is pay without bonuses. That's 7.8, I think. And they said, who is this? While wage growth is still much too strong for the Bank of England's liking, there's nothing in the latest data that's likely to push the committee into a rate hike in the November meeting. So it does seem like it's weakening. And also job vacancies continue dropping. Cooling labour market conditions appeared to start feeding through into an easing in wage growth in August, says Ashley Webb, UK economist at the research firm. I don't know. That supports our view that interest rates have peaked at 5.2%. So we're up there. And if you can see here, these are estimated vacancies falling. So weakness in the job market. You know, of course, what's happening is employers are not comfortable advertising for new positions because, of course, they're worried about the future or they're not getting the business. And also, this is from yesterday, I think, food produces lower prices at the fastest rate in 3 years. Now, we're not relying on one data point here. You know, there's three data points. It looks like we'll bring inflation down, so it's good news. But you know, if we do see a tick up in CPI tomorrow, that'd be a cause for concern. But prices charged by food and drink manufacturers fell at their fastest rate in more than 3 years in September, raising the prospect that inflation is set to ease significantly in the coming months. Significantly, so that's good news. You know. For inflation, it all peels into inflation, and hopefully the Bank of England then see things rolling over and coming down. So that is good news for markets. Anyway, any more chatter, Rooney here? Simon, what charting software do you use? Looks slightly better than Stockopedia. TradingView is international. It is pretty much, I think, the best out there. TradingView, it's called. Okay, but it's worth, and I think. You can literally, I think, it's free up until about five metrics on the chart. So if you use two moving averages and a relative strength, I guess it's free. Anything more than that, like alerts are limited, all that stuff. But talking about free, did I mention the app? Honestly, if you haven't tried it out, right? Where is it? Just go here. I've said the three things I use regularly, right? The Vox Markets app for RNSs is one of the best resources out there, and it's free. TradingView also is free up to a certain limit. But any listed company, you get notifications by RNS. Try it out, honestly, if you haven't tried it. That's it. Big day tomorrow. CPI data coming out. And hopefully it won't be an anomaly. Hopefully it'll be in line. It'll be dropping. And I think that'll set up as nice for a Santa rally. I do believe there'll be a Santa rally. I do believe that. And I think it'll come back a bit then into the new year. But then I think the full-grown bull market will start, maybe Q2 of 2024. But I think a good chance to get in if you miss the rally for Santa. This is me. I'm just making this up, really. But it's just opinion. It's not fact. But I think if you miss the Santa rally, then it'll be a good opportunity in Q1, to take some stops. But I do think I'm getting a bit more bullish because bad news is coming out. Bad news is good news. Thank you very much for that. Don't forget, if you can, like it, share it. And if you haven't subscribed to the channel, please do. And speak tomorrow. I'm not sure if John's back tomorrow or Thursday. Hopefully he's back tomorrow, because I'm talking to myself, which I do enough anyway. Cheers, everyone. Thanks so much. See you tomorrow. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.